The other night, with nothing better to do, I plopped myself in front of the television to watch the movie Three Kings. Do you know that movie? It's a story of a handful of renegade GIs at the end of the Gulf War. These four military mavericks set out to steal millions of dollars in gold bullion, which Saddam Hussein had hidden in the desert. One of the things that I found most enjoyable about the movie was watching how the deeper, more authentic personality of each character was revealed only incrementally as the movie progressed. At the beginning, for instance, one of the characters, a young sergeant, comes across as a trigger-happy commando, hell-bent on combat. But the first time he actually kills an enemy soldier, you can see for just a split second how he flinches. The reality of killing another human being rather than just playing war games hits him like a ton of bricks. But he rebounds immediately and once again swaggers like a gung-ho freedom fighter. A few hours later, this same soldier parades around like a wild party animal. He's just learned that his wife has given birth to their first baby, and he whoops it up with his buddies, drinking and dancing until he's out of control. These are just two facets of his personality. As we watch more of his exploits, we get a fuller picture of him. There's one particularly gripping scene where he's captured by the Iraqis and interrogated under torture. In that desperate situation, he pleads with his interrogator, not as one soldier to another, but rather as one father to another. And there, in that soul-crushing moment, you get the sense that you are finally seeing the real him, the man behind the masks. And you know this because, for the first time, instead of being amused or disgusted by his antics, you feel deep sympathy for him. You want to reach out and protect him. And in fact, from that moment on, he's like a different person for the rest of the film. Today's gospel is also about masks versus reality. It's about who we truly are rather than the masks we sometimes hide behind. When the Pharisees confronted Jesus with their question about paying taxes to Caesar, they too were wearing masks, cloaking their real identities. Their question to Jesus about whether it was morally acceptable to collude with the pagan Roman emperor by paying taxes was a legitimate question. But they were not interested in hearing what Jesus had to say. They were luring him into what they thought was the perfect trap. You see, there was no safe answer to the question they posed. The Romans had been an occupying force in Palestine for some 25 years, and to defray the expense of maintaining their formidable army there, they imposed a tax on the local population. The tax amounted to a full day's pay for every man, woman, and child over the age of 12. As you can imagine, for a poor family of five or six, that was nothing to sneeze at. To make matters worse, the Jews were not allowed to pay the tax in their own national currency. They had to exchange their Jewish shekels for Roman coins, for an additional fee, of course. That was like rubbing salt into a wound. The question that the Pharisees put to Jesus about paying that galling tax was burning in the mind of every Jew. The trouble was that the Pharisees were not looking for moral guidance from Jesus. They were simply out to snare him. You see, if Jesus had answered, yes, you should pay the Roman tax, then the Pharisees could hold him up before the people as a toady, a traitor, and they knew that the Jewish crowds would drop him like a dirty sock. If, on the other hand, Jesus said, no, you should not pay the tax, they could denounce him to the Roman authorities as a subversive, knowing that he would be arrested. Either way, the Pharisees would be rid of Jesus. It was the perfect trap. But Jesus was no dummy. He asked them to produce one of the Roman coins that was used to pay the tax, and when they did, he asked, whose image is this on the coin? That word image is important. It is the same word that the book of Genesis uses to describe how we human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. It is also the word that St. Paul uses when he reminds us that through our baptism, God stamps his very image on our heart and on our soul. So when Jesus parries their question, is it lawful, with his own question, whose image is on the coin, he is really posing a more probing question. Jesus is asking, whose image do you Pharisees bear within you? And the answer, of course, should be God's image. We bear God's image. The coin belongs to Caesar because it bears his image, so give it back to him. But you bear the image of God, so give back to God what belongs to God through your life, through your activities. As Christians, it's all well and good to say that we bear God's image, but we need to acknowledge that sometimes, like that soldier in the movie, you and I go through life hiding behind masks. The successful business professional, the engaged Catholic parishioner. The challenge that Jesus poses for us in this gospel is not to forget who we really are deep down at our core. The task of every disciple is to drop the mask and to acknowledge who we really are. That means, for instance, accepting that we are human beings, not angels, not perfect in every way. It's okay to admit that we do not have all the answers, that we cannot handle everything that life throws our way, that we do not like everyone who crosses our path. Secondly, it means that we are God's own daughters and sons, and that God loves us to pieces as much or more than any parent loves their child. Finally, it means recognizing that God created us for love, not for success, not for fame, and not for wealth. God puts us on this earth so that we might love other people. Our families and friends, of course, but other people whose claim on us is less obvious, especially people who are unloved by anyone else. That's who we truly are, human, not perfect, beloved children of God, and created to love others. Today's gospel challenges us to come out from behind the masks that we hide behind and to live in a manner worthy of our high baptismal calling. Let us never forget that we carry within us the very image of God. Let us renew our profession of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In response to God's word, we give voice to our prayers.
Let us pray for the church. May we always manifest the work of faith, labor of love, and endurance in hope that is ours. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for this parish community. May we learn to listen to one another with interior freedom as we discern God's will for us. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray to let go of the false gods of power, prestige, and money. May we instead seek God's mercy, love, compassion, and justice. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for all friends and alumni of Jesuit institutions. May they find God in their daily lives and labor with Christ for justice. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the sick, especially Sue Baglian, Monica Spencer-Bell, and Luba Novello. May they be consoled in God's presence. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Let us pray for those who have died, especially William Barnes, Anne Schneiders, Roger Weber, Carol Skarnberg, and Daniel Kuhn. May they rest in God forever. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. You, Lord, are great and do wondrous things for us. Hear the prayers we bring and sustain us as we seek your reign of justice and peace. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
In this place may be found in your worship aid.
By grace, it history. I can not where they lead. We are asked not to trust you, and we know we must believe.
Thanks very much.
As our feet.